There's this story that gets told in my family from time to time about how an uncle way back went to New York City for the first time. He was from a working class family in a working class city in the Midwest. We raised on casseroles and meat and potatoes and vegetables that had been cooked for a very long time. And anyway, he had heard at that time it was fashionable in New York City to eat something called steak tartare. And he wished to be fashionable. So when he went out to a restaurant with his friends, he told the waiter that he wished to have the steak tartare, thinking he was going to get a beautiful steak dinner. How surprised he was to discover when his plate was delivered that steak tartare is far from being a filling steak dinner, and is instead a very small amount of fine steak, raw and chopped, and topped with a raw egg.
Ew.
A wish to be sophisticated paradoxically revealed his ignorance of the things that he wanted. Oh, how our wishes can trap us. How they can reveal how much we think we know and how little we actually do. For sure, wishes can reveal our deepest hopes and longings, but sometimes they also reveal our misdirected desires. Our spontaneous off-the-top wishes, off-the-top-of-our-head wishes, can be prayers of the moment. Say, wishing for the sun on a rainy day. But they can also disclose our impulsive forgetfulness. Consider this wish, for example. We want a king. Oh, Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like other nations who have a king to go before them in battle. That's the people of God speaking in our reading from 1 Samuel, or I should say, to be clearer, it is their elders who have grown tired of the way that God has been leading God's people. Other nations around the people of Israel have kings, but up until this point, God has governed Israel in a different way, raising up wise men and women to serve as judges. The role of the judge did not pass from father to son or from mother to daughter. Yes, there were female judges even at that time. It was, to be sure, not the most stable of systems. It depended on God's action and leading. It was a system that depended on trust. Trust that God would provide. Trust that God would care for God's people. Trust that God would see to their needs. God had given the people good reason to trust, leading them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with signs and wonders, with the parting of the sea. In return, God said, "You shall have no other gods before me. Fear, love, and trust me above all things. Let me be your God so that you can be my people." No, the people said, "We wish for a king." Samuel warned them what the king would do, how the king would take their things and dominate their families and tax their land and require service in the military, service in the palace of their daughters. Warn them, God said, and Samuel did. And still the people said, "We demand a king." Oh, how our wishes can betray us. God sees it and God knows it even before the first king of Israel ever wears a crown. The people have forgotten God's great grandeur, God's love. All along the way, God has cared for them, but they have forgotten. In the heat of the moment, when things feel unstable, All the people have is what they can see around them. They want what their neighbors have, what the nations have that they do not. They have kings. We want one too. It is worth, I think, thinking about this. Not that any of us wish for kings, at least not by that name. But often within our hearts, we have our own wishes. Sometimes wishes for power, desires for what our neighbors have, spontaneous wishes for change that we think will make life easier. We don't want a king, but it would be nice to have a boss who understands everything that we are capable of. We don't want a king, but a secure stock portfolio would be nice. We don't want a king, but we would like political leaders who use their power in ways that we find helpful. Sometimes we wish for them to serve the common good, but truthfully, sometimes we just wish they'd crush the opposition. I don't know about you, but most of the time, I think that my wishes for all those things, bicycles, power, whatever, I tend to think that my own wishes are totally reasonable. I don't question them much. But somehow this story from 1 Samuel invites us to take another look at the wishes that run around in our hearts. Sometimes a spontaneous wish for change can reveal the ways I've forgotten about the, can reveal how I've forgotten about the ways God has cared for me in the past. Sometimes a desire for just a little more power can cloak a compromise in integrity. And sometimes when I'm jealous of what my neighbors have or what my neighbors are, I'm rejecting the reality that God created me good. God created me to be wonderfully and uniquely me, just as God has created you to be wonderfully and uniquely you. We want to be like other nations. The people said, but why? Isn't it enough just to be Israel, to be the people whom God chose and loved? The good news in this story is this. Even when the people reject God, God does not reject them. And even when we reject God, God does not reject us. Even when we forget about who God is or what God has given us or who God made us to be, God never forgets. God always remembers. And God's deepest wish is to remain our God. God loved his people so much that when they asked for a king, God gave them a king and a lot of other kings after that. If you read through the remaining books of the scriptures, you'll see that it was a clear case of being careful for what you wish, because you just may get it. A few kings in the stories were faithful and good, but many were absolute disasters. But through it all, God continued to rule and reign, and God always found ways to make God's wishes known. When kings failed, God raised up prophets to speak truth to power and teach people how God cares for those with the least power. In time, God also sent Jesus to be king, the perfect king. He never forgot who he was. And as our gospel reading from today shows, his own family and neighbors wanted him to be very different than the person that God made him to be, but he continued to be who he was. And he lived out God's wish all the way to the cross. In a few moments, we are going to mark little Artem with the sign of that cross in his baptism. It is God's wish that we do so. It's God's gift of grace to him. There will be times, and Amanda and Dane, I know this is hard to imagine, he is so small and cuddly, where he will make wishes that you will not understand, like, I wish I had a different family, he might say off the top of his head. Or, I want toys like the ones the kids next door have. And while God made him to be Artem, to be a beautiful person that we're all going to get to discover and get to know as he grows, the truth is that there are going to be a lot of forces in this world that are going to tempt him to be something other than the beautiful person that God made him to be. Baptism, God's promise, is for those moments. Actually, it's for all moments. But baptism is a clear sign of it. God's gift to claim and reclaim us in the face of wishes that go awry. A sign that God wants nothing more from us than to be what God has made us to be. It's a promise that God insists on being our God, washing our wayward wishes away each day with the promise of grace, and that God wants us to be God's own child, just like Jesus. God's wish incarnate, crucified, risen, alive now for all his baptized people. Amen.